Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, reading from chapter 2, verse 23 to chapter 3, verse 12. And it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did? When he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him.' And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for men, and not men for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known." We come to today's sermon, the principles of Sabbath. We have been working through the book of Mark, verse by verse, each week. And today, we come to this passage. This passage is about the Sabbath. The Sabbath that many today, they don't even consider relevant to us at all. In today's world, there are many different views and many different beliefs about the Sabbath day. Some say that the Sabbath day is obsolete. Why do you even keep the Sabbath? Some say that all you need to do is attend church and you have therefore fulfilled your Sabbath duty. And some say that you need to strictly adhere to the Sabbath where you cannot cook and you have to fast the whole day. Otherwise, it's considered breaking the Sabbath. In today's passage, we are going to see what Jesus believed about the Sabbath. What does the Bible teach us about the Sabbath? What does Jesus teach about the Sabbath day? And what is it that we have to learn from this passage today? The word Sabbath means a day of rest. But what exactly does it mean to have a day of rest? How does one rest? Does it mean that we are idle? We just sleep in bed and we don't even get out of bed because getting out of bed burns calories and therefore we are working? Or does it mean that we can only burn a certain number of calories and above which you are breaking the law of God? What exactly does it mean to have a day of rest? In our 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith that we adhere to, chapter 22, paragraph 8 on the Sabbath, it says, "The Sabbath is to be kept holy to the Lord when people have first prepared their hearts appropriately and arranged their everyday affairs in advance, that they observe a holy rest all day from their own works, from words and thoughts about their secular employment and recreation. Not only that, but they also fill the whole day with public and private acts of worship and the duties of necessity and mercy." Take note of the last part there. Acts of worship, acts of necessity, acts of mercy. That is what we are going to be considering in this passage today. Let us see, how is this passage speaking to us today? How does it tie to the doctrine of the Sabbath that we claim to hold to in the 1689 Confession? Mark has told us from the very beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, that this whole book, the Gospel of Mark, has one core message. And we find that in chapter 1, verse 1. And that is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Every passage that we have considered tells us a little bit more about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of this world. A few weeks ago, we saw that the Pharisees were not too happy about Jesus because he was forgiving the paralytic. You remember that? Jesus forgave the paralytic on a Sunday. And the Pharisees, they were not happy about it. Jesus took the occasion to proclaim the fact that he is the Son of Man. He had authority to forgive sin. Then after that, we saw that the Pharisees complained that he was eating with the tax collectors and with the sinners. Jesus again took the occasion to proclaim the fact that he did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. The gospel is not for those who think themselves as good. The gospel is for those who recognize that they are sinners, who cannot save themselves. After that, we saw that the Pharisees then complained that Jesus' disciples were not fasting. He said, "How is it that your disciples are not fasting while we are and the disciples of John the Baptist are, but your disciples are not?" Jesus again took the occasion to proclaim that he is the heavenly bridegroom. He has come to institute a new order, a new covenant, a new dispensation. He used the parable of the wineskin, of the cloth, where he actually is saying that I'm not just making additions to the Mosaic law, but I'm here to usher in a new covenant, a new order where keeping the laws of the Pharisees will not help you enter the kingdom of heaven. We saw how self-righteousness, self-effort can be fatal hindrances for one seeking salvation in Christ. And today, in this passage that we're considering, we're going to see the Pharisees complaining again. They're complaining now about the conduct of Jesus and his disciples on the Sabbath day for not keeping the Sabbath law. And Jesus is going to teach us how we are to view the Sabbath, how we are to adhere to the Sabbath. So how did all this come about? We read there in verse 23, chapter 2, verse 23. "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain." Try to picture what's happening here. Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field. Today we may actually call it a cornfield or a wheat field. In fact, if you were to look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, it actually says that the disciples plucked the heads of the grain and they rubbed them in their hands so as to remove the outer husk before they can actually eat it. Perhaps they were walking along the side of a cornfield, or perhaps they were taking a shortcut and cutting through the field. And while doing so, they were hungry, and they plucked the heads of the grain or the corn for themselves to eat. And then in verse 24, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" They were like little kids, you know. They say, look, this is your disciples. They're breaking the law. We have seen that one event after another, the Pharisees have been complaining. The opposition that they have towards Jesus is getting more and more intense. They were watching Jesus very closely. They wanted to corner him. They wanted to find fault with him, whatever they can do to bring him down. And here they say, "Look, Jesus, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath." But actually, if you were to study through the Old Testament, you will find that there is nothing that actually forbade the disciples from doing what they did. In fact, in accordance to the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy 23, you can look that up later, Deuteronomy 23, 25, what the disciples did was completely lawful. So what exactly is the Pharisees talking about right now? What are they saying when they say that the disciples are breaking the law of God, that they are breaking the Sabbath law? It is because over time, these Pharisees have added on thousands of many man-made laws. Some of them are even practiced today by some really orthodox strict Jews. For example, there are some Jews today that would actually leave their stove on all day to avoid turning the knob, because turning the knob is considered work and it violates the law of the Sabbath. In fact, my wife right here, there was one occasion where we were in Michigan and someone ran frantically out of their house and said, "Can you help me? My fire went out and the gas is leaking in my house and I can't turn the knob because it's the Sabbath." My wife, of course, went in and helped them turn off the knob. But all because the fire went out and gas was leaking, they cannot turn the knob because it would be violating the Sabbath law. And in Exodus 20, the fourth commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." So it is clear from the fourth commandment that the Sabbath day is a day of rest. But the Pharisees have came up with thousands of do's and don'ts to specify how exactly should you not labor, to the point where it actually becomes burdensome to the people. And how did Jesus then respond to them? We see that in verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests? And he also gave some to those who were with him." This account of David eating the showbread is recorded for us in 1 Samuel 21, where David was actually fleeing Saul. Jonathan, Saul's son, was actually helping David out, and he came to the tabernacle of the Lord. And what happened? It was a Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, they have this ritual where they are taking and replacing the showbread. They actually offer up bread to God. And on the Sabbath, they remove the old showbread. And normally that old showbread is only meant for the priest to be consumed. The priest is the one who actually eats the old showbread, and then the new replacement showbread is put forth for the next week. It was on a Sabbath day, and that was happening when David came to the tabernacle of God. David had a need. He and his men were hungry after fleeing Saul. And he ate the showbread that was meant only for the priests. The priest actually gave the bread to David. Abiathar, the priest, if you were to look at 1 Samuel 21, the priest gave the showbread to David, and he even blessed him. There was no indication whatsoever that God was actually displeased with David and his men. And what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here is that David, he had a need. He was hungry. And God was the one who actually gave the showbread to David and his men. David and his men were hungry, and God therefore suspends his own ceremonial law to meet the needs of David and his men. They needed food to be sustained. It was an act of necessity. And by implication, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is basically saying that his disciples right now are eating out of necessity. You Pharisees are keeping to the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. There are exceptions arising from fundamental needs that we have as human beings. This is an act of necessity. Then Jesus explains further in verse 27. He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for men, and not men for the Sabbath." What does that mean? What exactly does it mean that the Sabbath is made for men and not men for the Sabbath? It means that the Sabbath day was originally instituted for the good of mankind. In Exodus 31, verse 14, it actually says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you." It's holy to you. It didn't say it's holy to God. Do you think that God is less holy when we don't worship Him? Do you think that God is less complete if you do not keep the Sabbath? Certainly not. The perfect and holy God does not need any of us to make Himself more perfect or more holy. The Sabbath day is given to us by God as a gift to us as humans. It is a day set apart to be holy, and we need to recognize that this is part of the pattern that God has established for the good of mankind. And when did He establish this? He established this from creation. From creation, God has established this. Many Christians will tell you today that we don't have to keep the fourth commandment because it is a commandment that is given only to Israel. Or it was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. But when we look carefully and study through Scripture, the Bible tells us that that is not true. The Sabbath was not originated at Mount Sinai. The Sabbath was originated in creation itself. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that the moral law or the Ten Commandments is only given in Exodus chapter 20. But in Genesis 2, we already know in creation itself, God has instituted 7 days. 6 days He created this world, and on the seventh He rested. The moral law that God gave only in Exodus 20, where He actually gave the 2 tablets of stone to Moses, that moral law, those 10 commandments, did not take effect only after it was given to Moses. It doesn't say that, oh, now that I've given you the law, then it only applies. Before that, it doesn't apply. No. We don't need a written law to tell us, thou shalt not murder, in order for us to know that murder is wrong. In fact, earlier in Genesis, when Cain murdered Abel, right away, he knew he had done wrong, even when there was no Ten Commandments that was given to people at that time. So similarly, for the fourth commandment, it did not take effect only after it was written down in the tablets of stones that were given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It is rooted in creation itself. The Sabbath day is holy because God created this world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. That was his creation pattern, and that is the pattern that he has laid down for us here. We are told that God blessed the seventh day at the beginning in creation, and he set it apart to be holy. In fact, before the Israelites got to Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments was given to Moses, they were told that they were to gather manna, to gather food, where God blessed them with manna from heaven. They were to gather manna for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they were told not to gather manna because it was the Sabbath. The Sabbath existed before Mount Sinai, before the Ten Commandments was written down and given to people. It is a creation ordinance. It is grounded in every nature of the way God has made us. And that is why it is crucial, not just for our spiritual well-being, but it is crucial for our entire humanity. Why do we say that? We are actually created biologically in such a way that we labor for 6 days, and on the seventh day we set it apart, holy unto the Lord. We set it aside from the 6 days of work that we have done. That pattern of laboring for 6 days and resting on the seventh day is grounded in creation itself. It is a day of rest. It is a holy day. It's a day. It's not an hour. It's not a few minutes. It's a whole day that is to be set apart. Some of us here have experienced demanding jobs where you actually are required to work 7 days a week. And what happens? You know that that is not sustainable. You know that that leads to burnouts. And some of you here might actually have experienced burnouts. Over the course of history, there have been leaders of nations, emperors of empires, who actually tried to change the number of days in a week. And they have failed miserably. They have failed because it is inherently embedded in the natural clock of us, in the natural circadian clock of our body, that the Sabbath is needed. We need 7 days in a week, and out of this, one day is to be set aside as a day of rest unto God. The Sabbath day was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is for our own well-being. The Sabbath is God's gift to man that we may be able to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy communion with God, and to have a whole day out of seven to worship the only God who created all things, who created us, who created the universe. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. Then Jesus says in verse 28, therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord over the Sabbath. The Pharisees have added so many rules and regulations over the generations that they forget who is in charge of the Sabbath. Who is the one who actually gave them the Sabbath? Who is the one who actually created the universe? The one who created the universe, the one who is the Messiah, the one who is the promised seed of Abraham. Jesus is basically saying to these Pharisees that I am the creator of the Sabbath. Therefore, I am Lord over the Sabbath. You remember a few weeks ago, we saw in chapter 2, verse 10, that Jesus used that same title, that he is the Son of Man. It affirms not only his human nature, but it also affirms his divine nature. He is not just the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man. He is both God and man at the same time. In Daniel 7:13, that is where that title was being used. It says there in Daniel 7:13, the Son of Man is given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, all nations, and all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Jesus is basically saying, I am God. I am the promised Messiah. I am the Son of God. Therefore, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You Pharisees, don't you see that I am the one who gave you the Sabbath? You Pharisees, I am going to tear away all these man-made additions that you have put on the Sabbath. As Lord of the Sabbath, I am going to be dying to all your traditions, all your burdensome laws that you have added onto the people. I am going to die with those, and I'm going to be rising up on the third day. And when I rise from the dead on the first day of the week, I am going to change the day of the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. And in doing so, I will change the day of Sabbath from a focus on creation to a focus on redemption. It will be a day to remember that I died and overcame death. It is through my life, my death, and my resurrection that you people of all nations are now justified freely. That is what the Sabbath in the New Testament is all about. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and in doing so, the Sabbath has been changed from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. We saw that in our sermon when we were going through the Easter Sunday. You remember when Christ rose from the dead? It was the first of many Sabbaths. That was when Christ instituted this new covenant, where when he died on the cross, he died to pay for the sins of his people, that whosoever that believes in him and turns from their sins, they will have everlasting life. It is not through our own self-effort that we can be accepted by God, but it is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So how is it that those in the Old Testaments like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, how did they get saved? It is not by carrying out the law. It is not by the do's and don'ts of the ceremonial law. It is by having faith in the coming Savior, the seed of Abraham that will be here to save the world. They had faith in the coming Savior, and that is how they are saved and accepted by God. And now today, we live in the New Testament age. How are we saved? We have the privilege of looking back that Christ has come. He died for the sins of his people. All the people in time, their sins were all compressed in time and space, and it fell on Jesus Christ that when he died on the cross, he bore the sins of the world. That your sins, past, present, and future, will all be forgiven because Christ has done it all on the cross. You don't need to do anything anymore. All you need to do is recognize how sinful you are and to turn from your sins and trust in Christ alone. And that is what the Sabbath is all about. Every Sunday when we gather together to worship the triune God, it is a reminder of Christ being dead to death and risen on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Amen. Oh, friends, what joy that brings to us if we truly grasp that. How joyful it is to know that there is a day at which we are able to come and worship the only true God who laid down his life for undeserving sinners like us. And what are you waiting for? Some of us here have yet to commit our lives to Christ as our Savior. God, through his divine providence, have brought each and every one of us here today to hear the gospel being preached. He has given you a way of salvation. You have heard his call over and over again. You have heard the need to turn from your sins and trust in Christ alone. Why are you still waiting? Why have you not committed your life to Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Romans 3:24 says, "For it is by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were committed." Oh, what a joyous thing to know that the Lord of the Sabbath has risen and is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Very quickly, we consider the second point, the principle of mercy. We see in chapter 3 that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the synagogue with his disciples, and there was a man who came with a withered hand. And instead of having compassion towards this man, the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely. They were watching to see whether he would heal this man on the Sabbath so that they can actually accuse him of breaking the Sabbath again. And the Lord knew what was in their minds. He called upon the man with the withered hand. He called him, "Step forward." Then he turned to the Pharisees and he asked the Pharisees, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" And what did the Pharisees say? They kept silent. They were caught. They knew what Jesus was saying was right. They did not have compassion or mercy upon this man. They were so focused on finding fault with Jesus to the extent that they had no mercy. They were so hard up and legalistic about keeping their man-made laws of the Sabbath that they lost compassion towards a fellow human being. Jesus was basically hitting them right at the sore spot. Jesus then looked around them, and his righteous anger towards this sinful man, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he then healed this man who had a withered arm. You see here that Jesus is bringing forth another principle of keeping the Sabbath. Yes, we set aside the Sabbath day, separate from all the other days of the week. But he shows here that works of mercy ought to be carried out on the Sabbath day. It is not just works of necessity, where you actually need to eat, you eat. But if someone is in need of help, you show mercy to them. You help them. In Luke 14, Jesus tells the Pharisees, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" Jesus then took the man who had dropsy and healed him and sent him away. Is that work that Jesus did on the Sabbath day?
Absolutely, yes, it is work.
But Jesus is saying that I am Lord over the Sabbath. You who call yourselves followers of me are not to be idle. Instead, carry out works of necessity. Carry out works of mercy. For the Sabbath is made for men and not men for the Sabbath. What does it mean to have acts of mercy? It means that we help those who are in need. We help those who are poor. We help those who are sick and needy. And the same applies to our day and age. There are some of us here who work in the healthcare industry, where you actually have to be at the hospital. You might be a doctor, you might be a nurse, you might actually need to work on a Sunday. Do you therefore say, oh, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to work? As though you can control people from getting sick, like nobody can fall sick on a Sunday. No, if your work entails work of mercy, where you have to labor on a Sunday, you do so with a clear conscience, knowing that the Lord is the one who instituted the Sabbath. He is the one who has commanded to fill the day with works of necessity and with works of mercy. We don't keep to the Sabbath to say that, oh, you have to rest, therefore you can't even lift a scalpel. No, those are acts of mercy. Then we consider the last principle. That is the principle of piety. We find that in chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. Here in this section, Mark gives us a very brief account of the multitude of people following Jesus Christ. But there is a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 gives us a more detailed account of all that happened. In Matthew 9, verse 35, it says there in Matthew 9, 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see here that Jesus did not just go about healing the sick. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He cared for the lost souls. He yearned for those people to return to him, to put their faith in him, to believe in him, because he is the Savior of the world. Through this, Jesus is bringing forth yet another principle of keeping the Sabbath, and that is works of piety. Yes, there's works of necessity. Yes, there's works of mercy. But more importantly, there is actually works of piety. Works that are to the Lord. We come to church to worship God. That is an act of piety. The Sabbath day is to be kept holy unto the Lord. It's not holy to us. Is to be kept holy to the Lord. In Psalm 92, we actually read earlier in our scripture reading, if you were to see the title of Psalm 92, it says, Song of the Sabbath. It's a song for the Sabbath day. The psalmist says that it is a day to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. The Sabbath is given to us so that we can actually meditate and think about God. The Sabbath day draws us closer to God. It is through the Sabbath and through the preached word of God that God uses to sanctify you. Pause on the Sabbath day. Remember what God has done for you. We are to rest from our daily activities so that we can celebrate the work of God. Psalm 92, verse 4 and 5 says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! It is a day to celebrate the works of God. He is, after all, the creator of this universe. We are to fill the Sabbath day with worship to God." And it is not just attending church for 1 or 2 hours to check that box and say that I've done my duty for the Sabbath. Remember, it is the Sabbath day, not the Sabbath hour. The day is to set aside holy to God. The Sabbath is a day at which we come and worship our triune God. In the Old Testament, in Numbers 28, you would see that when they worship God on the Sabbath, there is the morning sacrifice and there is the evening sacrifice. They start the day with worship and they end the day with worship. Ideally, we would also be doing that, but we as a church plant right now, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the capacity to do that. But we would like to work towards that, where we would have a morning service and an evening service, where we would start the worship with, we would start the Sabbath day with worship and end the day with worship as well. Oh, we are not there yet, but we want to work towards that because it is scriptural. It is what is taught in the Bible. Works of piety are works that are centered around God's kingdom. There is so much work for God's kingdom that needs to be done. We are to proclaim the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. We are so busy during the week that we actually don't share the gospel with other people. Can we not pause from our daily activities on one day in a week so that we can share the gospel with other people? In fact, Jesus said in Mark 1, where we actually saw previously a few weeks ago, Mark 1, verse 38, Jesus said that His main purpose for coming is to heal the sick. No, He does not say that. In Mark 1, 38, Jesus Himself said that His main purpose for coming is to preach the gospel. And here, Jesus saw the multitudes of people and He was moved with compassion because the people were weary and scattered. The people were dead in their sins. They were dead in their trespasses. They were like sheep without a shepherd. The people were wandering around this world without knowledge of who God is. The God who created the whole universe, the one who gave them life, and they are wandering about this world thinking that they are in control of their own lives. They don't even know the one who created them. They needed a Savior to save them from their sins, to reconcile them with God, the God who created them. And that is what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath is for us to draw close to God. It is for us to worship Him. It is for us to meditate on the works and the blessings that He has showered upon us. How many of us have counted our blessings this week? How many of us have remembered the Sabbath day by meditating on the works of Christ? That He died on the cross for us, sinners. All of us have sinned. All of us have told lies. All of us have stolen. All of us have failed to keep the Sabbath day to be holy. All of us fall short of the moral law of God. But yet, in His grace, in His mercy, He, instead of punishing us, put all the punishment on Christ Jesus. And yet, we forget that so often. We forget how much God, Jesus Christ, has done for us. And that's why the fourth commandment, the first word starts with remember. Remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Friends, do you see the Lord's Day as some legalistic burden? Do you feel like it is such a chore to attend church on Sunday? How can meeting with your blessed God and to be among the people of God, to hear His word preached, how can that possibly be a burden? It is the day in which we are reminded of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day in which He has made for us to rest from our daily activities. We are commanded to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. We are to give one day in a week to spiritual worship, to spiritual refreshment, to rest in Christ Jesus. That is why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest to your souls." Very briefly, I want to touch on an error that we ought to stay away from. That is that the Sabbath is not to be viewed legalistically. The Sabbath is not to be viewed legalistically. The moral law is meant to be a mirror to us. The moral law is for us to see how far short we have fallen from the perfect righteous requirement of God. Not only will we never be able to keep God's law perfectly, but keeping God's law will not in any way earn us merit to be accepted by God. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. With Christ's death and resurrection, He has ushered in a new covenant where the old covenant of ceremonial laws is now all fulfilled in Him. In Jesus Christ, all the old covenant ceremonial laws have been fulfilled. And today, we commemorate the Sabbath day by worshiping God in His house. We do works of mercy by visiting the sick, by helping those who are in need. We do works of necessity by making sure we eat and we stay healthy. When we use the word legalism, it does not mean careful obedience to God's law, kept out of love to Christ and fear of God. That is not legalism. We want to obey God. We want to follow Him. We do so out of love for Him. But often people criticize, saying that, "Oh, you're being legalistic." That is not legalistic. That is not legalism. That is what's called faithful obedience. It is the principle that matters. It is not the do's and the don'ts that matter. We want to set aside the Lord's day from every other day in the week because there is a glorious liberty in the Sabbath for God's people. So we try not to work on Sundays. We try not to watch the Patriots game. We try not to eat out on Sundays. We try not to go shopping on Sundays. We try not to go golfing on Sundays. We try to set the Sabbath day apart from the rest of the week, because we want to keep it holy. Not because we are being legalistic about the Sabbath, but because we want to honor our God who has blessed us with all things. There was once this man, a young Christian man. He was very active in sharing the gospel with people. And one day after church and after service, after he went out and he was sharing the gospel, and he became hungry. And he decided to go to a restaurant to eat. And while at the restaurant, there was a waitress that was serving him. And he used that opportunity to share the gospel with the waitress, to tell her of Christ and him crucified. And then after that, the waitress was so attentive and wanted to learn more. He said, where can I learn more? And he says, well, come to me to church on Sundays. Learn about the Bible. The Bible we preach on Sundays. And the waitress' response was, oh, I can't do that. It is exactly on Sundays that you churchgoers will be coming here. It is the day at which I am making my money. Right away, that man, his heart was pricked. He is one of the causes for this waitress to not be able to attend church. Friends, we're not being legalistic here. We want to honor the Lord. You ask me, have I eaten out on Sundays? Yes, I have. There are times when you need to do so out of necessity. If your wife is sick, your children are sick, don't tell me you make them starve because you don't want to be breaking the Sabbath day by eating out. That is being legalistic. Or if your child is sick, don't tell me that you would refuse to go to the pharmacy to buy some medicine just because you don't want to encourage other people from working. We are not wanting to do's and don'ts and apply that to people's lives. That is not the point. It is the principle of the Sabbath that we need to grasp. Paul says in Romans 8 that the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind says, I will not give God one day in a week. That's a bunch of legalism. I want all 7 days to be mine. I want to be the one who decides what I do on my Lord's Day, on my Sunday. I want to spend my time the way I want it to. And that is the sad tragedy of many churches today. Instead of standing against such lawlessness and calling out sin as sin, churches today have sought to accommodate the carnal minds, to please men instead of pleasing God. They tell people that as long as you attend church on Sunday, then you can do whatever you want for the rest of the day. You don't need to devote the entire day to the worship of God. That's what many churches would say today. Oh, you're a Sabbatarian? You might as well be a vegetarian. Oh, you're a Sabbatarian? You might as well be a Pharisee. As though being a Sabbatarian is a dirty word that you should stay away with a 10-foot pole. But oh, friends, I hope you see today from this passage that the Sabbath is to set aside the whole day with acts of necessity, with acts of mercy, with acts of piety. It is a day where we worship the God who has given us all things. The Sabbath day is a day at which we come before the Lord in the presence of his people, and God has promised us, when two or more are gathered in his name, his mighty presence will be with us. Would you want to miss one Sunday when God's most high, mighty presence might actually be present? There was once a man who actually said, I would go to church even if there would be a plague, because we don't know which Sunday it would be where the Spirit will be the most present. Oh, friends, the Sabbath is a gift. It is a blessing to God's people. It is a gift for us to pause and reflect what Jesus Christ has done, what he has done to save us from our sins. And God created the Sabbath that we may enjoy fellowship with him. It is as though it's a foretaste of heaven. When you come to church on Sunday, when you fill your day with acts of necessity, mercy, and piety, your spirit is lifted up. It's as though you're recharged to go forth the rest of the week, working hard, serving the Lord in whatever labor and whatever vocation that we may be in. Oh Lord, we have to labor 6 days and to be refreshed spiritually on the seventh. The Sabbath day is not a day of idleness. It is not a day where you say, okay, I'll just sit there and watch my TV and not even sit up. There is a place to rest, and recreation is not forbidden, but it is still a day that we should set aside from the rest of the week, where we should try our best to make it holy unto the Lord. And that is why, again, in the 1689 Confession of Faith, it is stated that the Sabbath is kept holy to the Lord when people have first prepared their hearts. Prepare your hearts appropriately. Arrange your everyday affairs in advance. Then observe a holy rest all day from your works. Rest from your words, from your thoughts. Rest from your secular employment. Rest from your recreation. And not only that, but fill the whole time with public and private acts of worship, with acts of necessity, with acts of mercy. Remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for this day at which you have given to us. How we are able to gather together on this Sabbath day to worship the one and only true God, to commemorate the works of Christ and Him crucified, that He has died and rose from the dead on the third day, that we may be able to stand before the righteous God, holy and blameless, not because of any good in us, but because of what Christ has done on the cross. We pray, O Father, that you would give us the right attitude in viewing the Sabbath, that you would help us to submit ourselves to your teaching in the Bible, that we will be able to keep the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us and be with us for the rest of this day. Help us to keep the rest of this day holy unto you. For we pray all these in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.